Okay, and welcome back to the SBH podcast. Okay, so in this podcast, I'm going to talk about how to fight a big fish, and how to, really, because it's one of those things that you spend so long trying to get to that moment in where you can, actually hook into one, that when you spend so long, preparing to hook into one, you want to be able to land it. So what I'm gonna talk about and explain is, like, I mean, I've talked a lot about how to get to that point where you actually are fortunate enough to hook into one of those fish, but and I've talked a little bit about how to hook into and land one of those fish, but I haven't really gone in depth about how to fight a fish in the, safest way, or the best way for yourself, as well as the best way for the fish. Because the thing is, like, I guess in the whole Northeast and up and down the coast, at least for where the striped bass range is, striped bass are one of the hardest fighting fish that you can catch from shore. And so to be able to, like, be able to hook into one that's actually that big and can pull that hard, sometimes is scary when you've never hooked into a bass that's that big before, especially because a lot of the times that I've, like, the first time I ever hooked into a big fish, it didn't go so well. And I talked about that in a little bit of the podcast about getting hooked, or, like, that's what the name of the podcast is, but the, like, why or what exactly happened, but I'm gonna go more in depth to what I did wrong about in that scenario. Okay, so it's pretty fun hooking into a big fish, obviously, but it's one of those things that's also terrifying, and that's probably part of the reason why it's so awesome to hook into a big fish, because it is so, like, terrifyingly powerful that when you hook into it, it's like, oh my God, what did I just hook into? Sometimes, I mean, especially if the bass is in current, it can put on quite the fight. Okay, so I'm gonna go and I'm gonna talk about, what happens when you first hook the big fish. So this is very interesting because, I've talked to a lot of people and I've been around a lot of people when they first hook into that first, like, 30, 40, even 50-pound bass of their lives, and what goes through their mind. And I've talked to a lot of people that have done that, and it's pretty funny because a lot of the times, especially when you're fishing with, like, live eels, which is a way that I fish a lot with, and it's very slow at the start as far as, like, when the fish first eats it and then you hook into it and then the fish takes off and it's run. So I was gonna it and I mean I've there's so many different stories, but I mean, really, when you hook into that fish, the first thing it's gonna do is you're gonna feel this dead weight as you hook set into the bass. Now, what's going to happen is that fish, you'll then feel some pressure slowly building on the end of your rod. And generally, if you have your drag tight, which is what I would suggest, and I'll go into that in a second. Generally, when you first hook into that fish, that bass will end up coming up to the surface if you're not fishing super deep. And I'm assuming when you're fishing from shore, you're fishing roughly between 8 to maybe 15 feet in the water. I mean, that's just on the deeper side. If it's shallower than that, then this is definitely going to happen. But that's, like, 15 feet is roughly the deepest I would say that this might happen. But if you're fishing really between 8 to 10 feet of water, this is most likely going to happen when you hook into a big fish. And so what will happen is you'll hook into that big fish and it will rise up to the surface. And as soon as it hits the surface, it will thrash with its tail out of the water, and then it'll take off into its run. But a lot of the times, and when you hook into a big fish, a lot of the time, what will happen is you won't think it's actually that big because it doesn't feel that big when you first initially hook into it. Now, I remember the first time I ever hooked into the biggest fish I've ever hooked into. It was right in front of a huge boulder that was under the water. And I hook into it, and I actually thought I got it stuck on the rock. And I was like, oh, I got it stuck on the rock. And then what happened was, is I saw a huge splash up on the surface of the water. And then all of a sudden it just took off into this roaring big run. Now, I didn't really realize how big the fish was until it took off in its first run. And the other thing is I've talked to other people I was fishing with, actually my dad, and the first time he hooked into a 40-pound bass, and we were fishing with live eels in the spot, and he hooks into his fish, and he said that when I first felt the fish eat, I let it eat a little bit, and then I hooked into it, and he thought it was like going to be like 28 inches, you know, and then all of a sudden the thing just takes off, and he was like, oh my God, this is a whale, like this is huge. And then I was talking to Ben, who generally is my co-host, but not here with me right now. I was talking to him the first time he hooked into a big bass with an eel. He hooks into him, and the thing he thought got stuck in a rock as well. He was like slowly reeling eels. The first time he ever used eels. He's not really a fisherman. He just comes out and fishes with me every once in a while. But so he's slowly creeping it along, and he's never caught a fish on an eel. And then he thinks he gets it stuck in a rock. And then all of a sudden the fish turns and runs in the other direction. So fairly similar to the first time that I actually hooked a big fish. So what I'm trying to say is when you first hook a big fish, it's not like you're immediately going to be like on, like it's going to go off and you're going to be like yanked into the water. Like I was the first time I hooked my big fish. And I'll get into that a little bit more. If you haven't heard the story, it's pretty hilarious. But, so what happened was, I was fishing, with a bomber long A, a redhead bomber long A. It was the smaller size, so it had three treble hooks on it. I'm sure a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And it was between two large thunderstorms. And I was fishing with this bomber. And was not very good fishing before that, like in the season. Like, I mean, didn't know much, but I knew like rocks plus like wind. Or what rocks really plus waves and like nasty weather equal big fish or like more fish. So I was like catching a lot of like 15 to like maybe 25 inch bass, which is like back then I was stoked to catch like 15 fish in a row. Like that was awesome for me. And so I was catching a whole bunch of those, and I was probably maybe 12. And so what happened was I casted this bomber out. It was literally my last cast. And I remember this so vividly too. It was literally my last cast. I cast it a little bit further over this boulder than I have the entire day. And the thing is the bass was probably sitting right behind the boulder. And I jig it twice, and then all of a sudden the thing sticks into the fish. Now it's really the fish swallowing the thing whole. This is something that was so incredible, how deep this fish actually swallowed the bomber, that the fish swallowed the bomber so far down that it swallowed the entire bomber and got two trebles of the three trebles on the tail stuck in the outside of its gill plate. So the thing went all the way down into its mouth and hooked on the outside of its gill plate. I don't even know how that's possible, but this is what happened. And it was probably because I was twitch, twitch, pause, twitch, twitch, pause, and the bass just inhaled it. And so I hook into the fish, the thing takes off on a run, and I'm fully like made my arms go straight. The fish was pulling so hard. I get launched off of where I was standing, fully like Superman slid like onto a big seaweed mat. Luckily it wasn't rocks. I was holding onto the rod. I land on the seaweed mat. I'm getting pulled across the seaweed mat, and there's huge waves, by the way. These were probably maybe 5 to 6 foot waves, so they weren't small. I get pulled into the water, and I grab onto the seaweed. So I have the rod in one hand and the seaweed in the other hand. The fish is tearing line out like crazy. I mean, it was absolutely peeling line out. And I'm holding onto the rock as this fish is peeling line out, and I'm just kind of on a cliff, and the fish was going around the side of the boulder and around the side of the cliff, and I had 50-pound braid on at that time because I knew that like heavy braid would be better, because if I hook a big fish, I'm not going to lose it. So the fish is going around the seaweed on the boulders, and I have my drag fairly loose, and I finally get washed back up onto the boulder by a big wave, and I climb up the boulder. I'm holding onto the thing. The fish is still peeling line. I'm tightening it down a little bit, And then I just lean back into this fish as it just takes off and keeps pulling line. And then finally it seemed to have tired out and stopped after a little bit. And then I finally started to reel it in nice and slowly. I was reeling it in, getting it closer and closer and closer. And it finally emerged out of the water. And like, that was I didn't even know bass could get that big at that point in my life. I mean, I was literally just catching fish that were all like, you know, 15 to 28 inches. Like, we catch one 28 incher a year. That was that was amazing for us. Like, if we could get one fish that was 28 inches, oh man, we were so stoked. But so what happened was, like, the thing emerged out of the water and I saw it kind of floating up towards the surface on its side, and it was slowly kicking a little bit with its tail. And, there's also, keep in mind, there's big waves. So now I have the rod straight because I'm not very strong. I was like 12, and I'm starting pulling on the fish like this, reeling it up a little bit and pulling on the fish like this. And it got hit by a big wave and the fish got pulled under the water by the wave and it kicked off again and obviously started another big run, and it ran and my rod hit across the side of the rock beside me and it snapped the line. So that was the first time I ever hooked into a big fish. Now, I hadn't been fishing for very long, and I'm a self-taught fisherman, and I have, and like, my dad fished for striped bass, but would like chunk like mackerel off the beach or sea clam or whatever. And he didn't have a vast knowledge, and he was never taught how to really fish for striped bass either. So, I was never really taught how to fight a huge fish other than like reel it in. And then, so what I was doing is, really, I was just cranking straight in, whatever, and hoping that I would land this fish. So a few key errors that I made is, number one, I was not standing on this side. I was standing on pretty slippery rock at a very steep angle. And so when the fish actually hit, my feet just slid off the rock. And I was staying pretty high up on a cliff because there's big waves, and I got slid off the rock onto a seaweed mat and washed into the water. And I mean, it was fine. It was not like I was really in any danger at that point, but it was just like kind of scary because you have a giant, like, the fish that you've been like trying to get forever. Not really. I mean, I've only been at that time been fishing for maybe 2 years, like really trying to catch like multiple fish, or fishing plugs at least, for like 2 years at that point. But then I get pulled into the water, and so it's probably not keeping the line. Obviously that's wrong. Like, don't get pulled in the water if you're fishing. And obviously if you're like a strong human being and you get pulled into the water and you're fishing, it can definitely happen, because Ben, first time he hooked his big fish, he almost got pulled into the water, and that was a 45-pound bass easy, and he almost got pulled into the water. And so, like, it can happen. Like, they do pull extraordinarily hard, and if you have your drag tight, it is, and you're not on stable ground, you can definitely get pulled into the water. So I'm holding onto this fish, I'm reeling down, and, you know, I'm trying to like keep tension. So that was the only good thing that I was doing. The only saving grace, I guess, of like me falling was that when my line was going across the rock, I didn't have a lot of pressure on the line, so that I don't think it snapped because I didn't have a lot of pressure on the line. But the key error and the reason I lost the big fish was when I got it up close to me, sometimes this will happen, especially if the bass are more fresh. This fish was not very fresh. It was just the fact that it got hit by a big wave and got reoriented and got in the current and then kind of just kicked probably a few more kicks and just did enough that it snapped the line. But I was able to see the whole fish. Like, it was on the surface for a good like 30 seconds before it got knocked under the water again. So I fully saw the fish. I fully saw how big the fish was. It was probably a 30, 35 pound bass. I mean, it was a big, big fish. Like, it was not small. Yeah, I was probably pushing probably 40, I'd probably say between 45 and maybe 48 inches. Like, it was a big fish. And it was just that classic, just like big, heavy, strong bass. So when you get a really big, heavy, strong fish and you put it in current, it can really, and just a little like kick with its giant tail, it can move a lot of water and move itself pretty fast through the water. So, and very powerfully through the water. So when you like, so what will happen is if you hook a big fish and it's fresh and you bring it up close to the rock, it is not unlike the bass to, once it gets pretty close to the rock and you kind of get its head out of the water, for it to turn and do another run, especially if it's fresh and you have tight drag. And so that happens all the time. And it's kind of like the scariest moment of the fight, because that's when it's in close to the boulders. That's when it has the ability to really easily cut you off. That's when you've already seen the fish and you're shaken because you actually know how big it is. So it's very, very likely. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one, but maybe some of you guys that are listening to the podcast have had very similar experiences with big fish, having gotten them up close to the rock and had them take two or three strong runs right up next to your rock. Or if you hook them at your feet, obviously they can, and you kind of turn them towards you, they'll definitely kick off strong. So that's something that is very common, and something that I did wrong there is, when you get a bass up close to you, you need to predict that that's going to happen. And when it got hit by, I mean, really what I should have done is I should have loosened my drag up at that point a bit. So if it didn't end up running, it wouldn't have cut me off, and I probably could have gotten it around the side of the rock. I don't even know how I would have landed that fish, to be honest. It was so big that at that age, I don't know how I would have been able to carry it back. It was like so big and so heavy. I mean, I don't even know. And I was by myself, and it was like huge, huge, huge fish. So I don't know how that would have ended up, but as far as like trying to land a fish like that, if you're in really harsh conditions, like big waves and stuff, and you get it up close, loosen up your drag. It also helps to have a fishing buddy, but if you're by yourself, loosen up your drag just a little bit. I'm not talking about a lot, but just a tiny little bit, so that if it does make that run, it doesn't catch you by surprise and like yank the rod out of your, like not out of your hand, but like straight, or something like dramatic can happen. Or you can just muscle it in. I mean, I've had that thing where once you get a bass in close, you can just muscle it in, but then when you're landing a big fish, it's also difficult if it is choppy if there are big waves. It is difficult to land a big fish, especially in boulders and off of jetties and stuff. I mean, that's not easy to do. If you've hooked a big fish in like jetties or boulders, it can be quite difficult. What happens? So I talked about a little bit about like, I guess I should go into the first like stages. There's about like, depending on the size of the fish. So if you have a fish that's like 30 to 35 pounds, you know, and you have your drag pretty tight, it's going to do a specific amount of runs or like a few, and you can kind of gauge, like once you've caught a few big fish, you can gauge how many runs it will do to kind of how big the fish is. So when you hook into a bass that's like 30 pounds with the drag and how tight I set my drag, the bass, if it's like 30 to 35 pounds, will do one really good run, and then you'll be able to gain maybe a few cranks of line, and then it'll do another really good run, and then you'll be able to gain like a good amount, maybe half, and then it'll do another really good run, and then it'll be done. If it's a really like a 40 pound bass or 40 even 50 pound bass, it will do one really good run, it'll do another, and then you'll be able to get like a crank, and they'll do another really good run, and you'll be able to get like a crank, and then it'll do another really good run, and then by that time you're like, oh my god, this thing's giant, and it's probably teared, like each really good run, I'm talking about maybe 20 to 25 yards of line that it's pulling out. So it gets scarier, and every yard of line that the bass pulls out is your percentage of you landing that fish is less. That's more surface area for the bass to tangle you up, get you in a rock or anything like that. So really, the less line that you can have the fish taking out, the more your odds of landing the bass increase. So I'll get into like why, and that's a big part of why I fish heavy line and heavy drag, is because, and big gear and big rods, because I know that, I know that if the bass can even get one more yard further, it could get you into a rock. And so I have very heavy gear here. I actually got, I have a new addition to my lineup here, a big Van Stahl VSX 275. So that's a new addition. And I have that spooled with 80 pound Max Quattro braid. I've never tried the Max Quattro braid, so I'm excited to try that, because I've heard it's like very abrasion resistant and has a very high breaking point, and it's also thinner, so it casts better. Yeah, so that's 80 pounds. And then I have it paired on a Lamglass 10 foot. It's a Lamglass 10 foot and it's rated like, I forget, I'm blanking right now. Yeah, it's a rate from 3 to 7 ounces. So, yeah, so it's like, that's a good setup if you know you're fishing for trophy fish. Like, I'm not going to bring that out. Like, honestly, like, I probably won't fish that setup during the day. Unless maybe I'm at the canal or something. I don't know if I'd ever fish that during the day. I'd probably fish my VSX 200 during the day. Because I know, like, I fished the VSX 200 all last season. And there were multiple occasions, especially with the bass that I got that were, you know, in their mid 40 pound range, that I was terrified because they just kept going. And that's scary because you have your Vanstall, you know, VSX 200 with the drag cranked all the way to max, and the bass is pulling out, you know, like 50 yards of line. Like, that's in like not that much current, and it's pulling that much line out. I mean, that's insane, and that's super scary. I mean, you do not want that. You know, that's really not good. I would say if the bass can pull more than maybe 30 yards, 40 yards, you're in trouble. Like, that's what I would say is like an acceptable length for you to start turning the fish at. And sometimes that's super difficult, especially if you're in like the Cape Cod Canal with, you know, whatever the 9-knot current or whatever they have there, and you hook into a 50 pound fish. You have to have some giant gear to stop a fish like that. But at the same time, with maybe that Vanstall, you could probably lock that down to a point that you could stop that fish in very short amount of time. Or if you have like a Stella or Dogfight, you could definitely stop the fish pretty quickly. So just fish with the right tackle when you're hooking into a big fish. So then the other thing is when you're talking about like a fish running, that's really the bass, you know, and it's crazy, but the fish is swimming pretty much normally. I mean, besides it having your hook in your face, if the bass is swimming normally that many yards, like, that is scary. And what the fish is looking is like, what is this on the side of my face? And they'll actually go and they'll crash into rocks and they'll scrape their heads against the rocks to try to rip the lure plug or whatever out of their face. I've had fish come back with seaweed on the plug without them actually going around a boulder, like with seaweed and stuff on the plug from them crashing into a rock and stuff and ripping it off and barnacles. And I've had like mussels and stuff on the plug because they're crashing into the side of the rocks. So that, like, that definitely happens. And that's when you have to really be, you know, aware of like where you're fishing and like if the bass goes certain distance, is it going to get me around this boulder? If you can even see the boulder, that's why it's important to really cast. I mean, unless the fish hooks, I mean, it's really important to like understand what's under the water. Cause I guess I can't tell you exactly where every single boulder is in my best spots, but I could tell you that, you know, there are definitely boulders under the water. And if they go a certain distance, that it's going to be more likely that they're going to get around one of them. So it's, you know, so one of the things that I guess ties into how do you tell if it's a really big fish when you first hook it is the amount that the rod tip will flex per push of, per like the fish's tail moving from side to side. So I'm going to just grab, like, I don't know, I'll grab this rod here. So what's going to happen, you know, you hook into that big fish, and every single time it pulls line out, that's like, it's going to give some line because that's it pushing the water with its tail. So it's probably like, I think the focus on this thing is going crazy because of my rod. So every single time it pulls out, you know, line, it's going to go down one and then it will come up because, you know, it pushes on one side. So it pulls out a meter of line. So that would be one revolution of the fish's tail, two revolutions of the fish's tail, three revolutions of the fish's tail. And you'll tell, like, the more line that the bass is pulling out, the bigger the fish is. So per each time the bass moves its tail right or left, it's going to pull out a certain amount of line. You can't really tell how much line that is, but you can tell from the time that the rod tip is at its, like, higher point to lower point to back up a little bit and then down, you can kind of tell how big the bass's tail is, because you can kind of gauge, like, exactly how much line is going to come out per it pulling like that. So, you know, I gauged, like, okay, if the thing's going down and up really severely, it's going to be a bass that's bigger than 20 pounds. That's kind of really the way I see it. It's like, if it's a 20 pounder, it's going to do, like, a little bit, but not that much. But if it's, like, going way down, way back up, that's because big fish's tail is going back and forth through the water. So it definitely is going to pull a lot of line per, like, it moving its tail. And it's also going to, like, pull, you know, it's going to be pulling out some line here. So, and then, you know, so that's kind of a way that you can gauge that it's definitely a big fish. And it's, and if you're fishing next to people and you look down and you see somebody's rod going like this, you know, it's a bigger, that person's on a big fish. So that helps. Yeah. So as far as, like, you want to, when you're fishing with it, I'm just reading some topics, some points here, so I stay on topic. So, you know, you're gonna, the goal is to turn the head of the fish. And that can be, you know, pretty difficult at times when you're hooked into a big fish. I mean, I've had points where I pushed as hard as I could on the reel of my Van Stall, and I've not been able to move the reel handle because the fish is moving, like, pulling out so much line. That happens. That's, like, that's because they're so powerful. So a way to do that is to pull up and then reel down. But what you really want to do is when you really don't want to, like, reel when they're running. You want to wait until they stop, and then you want to start gaining as much line as possible. So the goal is to gain as much line as possible every single time the fish takes a break or takes a rest from it, like, running. So what I try to do in the is, like, I try to guess when the fish is slowing down and when I can start gaining line, because really, if you can gain back a few meters of line, then you're going to be looking in good shape. Because if you gain back a meter, that could be, if it pulls another 6 meters a line, if it pulled a seventh, you could have been cut off. So I guess that's why, like, try to gain as much line as the fish allows when the fish allows you to. So, and then a good way of doing that is when you're reeling, I've seen so many, like, ridiculous people, like, not knowing how to fight a fish in general. So I'll show you that right here. So I'm just trying to orient this around myself right now. So when the fish is running, I like to put the fish, or the fish, I like to put the rod on the stand up here, actually. So I like to put the rod butt right in the side, like, right by the side of my hip. And then what I like to do is when the fish is running, I will actually have my arms straight. So that's a way, so you see a lot of people that have their arms all like this. You don't want to, like, be curling the fish the entire time, because your arm's going to get, like, super tired. So straight arm like this as the fish is running. So when the fish is pulling out line, and then when the fish stops, you want to get some quick cranks down, but you want to slowly pull up on the fish, and you want to reel down, and you want to slowly pull up, but you want to be, like, you need to be maintaining pressure the entire time. I've seen people go down and then reel up and make slack on the line and lose fish. I literally seen that so many times, and it's, like, it's so cringy, because, like, you'll see people pull the rod down, reel up really quickly, and then pull it up like that, and they're gone. Like, the fish is going to be gone 100% of the time. You want to be maintaining pressure the entire time that you're reeling down and pulling up. You want to be maintaining pressure 100% of the time. So, yeah, because that's, like, the number one way people lose fish when they're fighting a big fish is they push the rod down, they pull it up too fast, they're letting slack in the line, and the bass is going to shake it. So just always maintain pressure. And then the thing is, like, you know, as I said, keeping your arm straight when you're fighting the fish, because what's going to happen is if you have your arm all bound up like this, your arm's going to get tired. And, you know, you'll be having to shake out your arm because the bass is like it's going to be fighting pretty hard. So you just want to have your arm straight. And it will keep you, you know, nice and fresh for catching. If you have an epic night, you can catch way more fish than if you're like holding your, you know, trying to like hold the fish with your little bicep versus like having the joint and your arms just like hold. So your hand is the only thing that's really holding on to the rod. Everything else is just connected, if you know what I mean. So that helps you catch more fish. Cause a lot of the time you'll also get like fatigued fighting like a lot of fish. Cause if you catch like 10 bass that are 15 pounds in the canal, you're going to be feeling it. If you're curling the fish, you're going to be feeling it. So that's one thing I wanted to go over because I see, you know, a lot of people get either super tired fishing or they leave slack in the line, the fish shakes it. That's something that is a big no-no. You don't want that to happen.
One more thing.
So I talked about it taking runs, right in close. I also talked about the first time I hooked into a big fish. So now I want to talk about, a little bit of gear, which will help me out, a little bit. So here's the thing. When I'm fishing for trophy fish, I only use I use gear that I know I have 100% confidence in that it won't fail me. Now that's why I love fishing certain rods, and I have certain rods here. I have like ODMs, I have Century, I have Lamiglass, I have St. Croix. These are all brands that I know won't fail me. I've had obviously freak accidents with a lot of these rods, but I never really had one fail, especially during the fight. I have had a pen reel explode once, but they were really nice and they gave me a free one. It wasn't really that big of a fish, but on the hook set, the gear is just stripped. And that's part of the reason why having a Vance doll is so important, because, you know, the salt water is very corrosive on fishing reels. And really, if you fish as hard as I do and you really want a fishing reel that's going to survive, you want to be fishing something that's water resistant, at least water resistant, not if waterproof. And then I talk about why this is something that I felt the need to, you know, get. I'm trying to like maneuver giant rods around my room. Okay. I talked about the rod and reel and the line that I have on this, but why fish a giant Vance doll? Well, because you can do this, which is crank your drag down. The reason why I got the bigger Vance doll is it's not good to have your drag cranked down all the way and you hook a fish and have it pull 50 to 60 yards. You just don't want that. Now, if I'm in a desperate situation, that's definitely not going to, a bass will not be able to pull 60 yards of that. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what type of a bass that you hook into, that's not going to happen. Now, obviously, it's not like, you know, a die with dog fight or Shimano Stella like drag here, like as far as how tight it goes. But if I have it set like that, which is like maybe halfway, that's as much as it is for that other reel to be locked down. Now, that's what you want. You want the ability to go more than necessary as far as your drag being locked down. Now, I should measure how much pressure this is, so I can tell you guys how much pressure I actually have on the fish. But this is like my average here, which if I had to guess, would be like maybe 20 pounds of drag, I'd say. That's probably what I would call my average amount of drag I have going when I'm fishing for trophy fish. Now, there's multiple reasons why you want to be fishing super heavy drag. One of those is because, you know, you don't want the bass to be wrapping you around a rock. But the other ones are, it's healthier on the fish to fight it quick. Now, I've heard people that fish 15-pound test and it takes them half an hour to land, or like 8 minutes to land a fish, and it pretty much is going to kill the bass 9 out of 10 times. I'd be shocked if that fish doesn't survive, especially if you take it out of the water for a little bit. It's like pretty much going to be fully burnt up by that time. That's it, max effort trying to get away for 8 minutes straight, and then you finally getting it in. Like, that's, it's insane. Like, that's not healthy for the fish. I mean, it's going to tire it out and be more susceptible for predators, as well as more susceptible for, you know, it being, like killed because it's like burned, it burns up because they get hot. They get really hot when they like, when they swim, all their muscles are tensing. It's kind of how we get hotter. It's like the same thing with tuna, how a tuna will cook if you fight it for too long. Literally the tuna itself will get so hot, the meat will cook. So you don't want to fight a tuna for too long or else the meat will cook. And a lot of the times people actually, the fish will die during the fight when they're fighting tuna. It's not really the same thing for the fish, but it can be so fatigued that it can't end up swimming away. Even if you revive it for hours upon